Well, it's kind of like the old movie, Build It and They Will Come. This is Teach It and They Will Come, maybe. I don't know. It seems like I'll sit here and I'll wait and I'll wait and nobody shows up and then I start teaching and seven people walk in. So.
Hey, you're not nobody.
No, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. You're right. You're exactly right. What am I, a chopped liver? That's what we used to say. That's the old expression. Yeah, you got me on that one. Okay. Father, just thank you for the time we have this morning, for the practicality and applicability of the kinds of things we're looking at today and have been looking at for some time are very heartening to us, I hope, and I hope that folks can go away with a sense of how the biblical worldview comes together with everyday life activities, things that we don't necessarily always associate with the Bible, and yet you speak to everything in life, as we talked about last time, and we will see that again today. And pray that you'd be with us as we consider these things, and that we would have good discussion, and that we would all benefit as a result. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Continuing to look at how to raise children to become wise, responsible, godly adults. We've been looking at developmental activities, and we have been in the process of looking at three areas. We looked at work, talked about the biblical view of work, the importance of work for all people, and then how that applies to you instilling those values in your kids, teaching your kids to work, holding them responsible to work, encouraging them to work, and so forth. Talked about education. We talked about the different options that are available in terms of schooling. And then we talked about various ways which you as a parent can influence your kids in the area of training and education. We talked about how you can teach them skills or encourage them to pursue skills. We talked about how you can teach them how to go about living life, the life skills that they need to learn that they're not going to learn in a school. We talked about instilling a love of learning into our kids, that learning should be exciting, it should be a positive thing, and we should communicate that and get that across to our kids. And then we talked last week, last but not least, about how everything ties back to a biblical worldview, and we want our kids to understand that, and we want to tie all of life back to a biblical worldview. It's interesting, I was listening to John Piper this week. He has a series of biographies out there on different famous people in history. I don't know if any of you have seen that or listened to them, but they're much worth listening to. I mean, they're very Piper-esque, obviously. They're Piper. But one of the points he made was that very point, that everything ties back to a biblical worldview. He said that's what gives him enthusiasm about the scriptures and the applicability of life. He said he was preaching to some pastors. He said, you know, if you're up there and preaching seems dry to you, you're not making the connection somewhere. You're missing it. He said, I love the idea. He said, you know, I could literally have anybody just stand up and shout out a topic, even if it's something I didn't even know about, and I could tie it to a biblical worldview. He said, if it's something I didn't know about, I'd just talk about how I'm ignorant and I don't know all I need to know. And he said, I would tie everything back. I could do that, you know. And he's exactly right. Well, today, we're going to begin looking at recreation. You talk about tying something to a biblical worldview that might not seem to tie to a biblical worldview. This might be that area. So a few things about recreation. And by the way, my plan today is a little bit different than we usually do. I think a lot of times I'll go just a little ways and we'll stop and have discussion and try to go a little ways further and try and stop and have discussion. I want to pull together a topic that we're going to get to in a moment here. And I want to kind of get it all out on the table. So I'm going to do a little bit of a sprint here in terms of teaching, a little heavy front end on teaching, and then I'm hoping to leave a pretty good space of time at the end to have discussion once everything's been laid out. That's kind of the plan today, just set expectations. So a little bit about recreation. First observation I have is that recreation is the default mode that your kids will tend to operate in. If you don't give your kids something to do or supervise them or oversee them in some way, the thing they're almost sure to do is go do something recreational. They'll play, they'll get their toys out or whatever age they are, I mean, there is the occasional kid who will, you know, go do something real productive if you don't tell them what to do, especially if you've trained them well and they're a little older. But generally speaking, kids want to play. Kids want to have fun. Kids want to have recreation. Now, recreation, especially too much of it, or maybe even the wrong kinds of it, can end up becoming the kind of worthless pursuit that the Proverbs warn against. We've cited this passage in our Proverbs study, and I think I've put it in front of you a few times since. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Now, is this saying you should never enjoy yourself or have recreation? I don't think so. But it's saying that if you don't put the amount of time needed into productive work, in this case it would be working the land because this is an agrarian society and this is, you know, how they operated, and you spend too much time chasing other things that are not of much value, you're going to end up lacking. So as a warning there. Having said that, though, I would also say not all recreation is bad. Recreation can be a fun and effective way for kids to develop skills and learn things. And this is going to be kind of our thrust here. It's this twofold idea. Beware of imbalance. Beware of the downside of recreation. But on the other hand, use recreation in a way that profits and benefits and is helpful. Encouraging and perhaps participating with your kids in the right kinds of recreation can be a great way for you to develop your kids' knowledge and abilities while everyone's having a great time. What's wrong with that, right? Good deal. If it's handled right, I think that can be the case. Now, I want to look at several areas of recreation. We're just going to get to the first one this morning because it's a big one. First area I want to look at is sports. So when I said we're going to sprint through this, that was sort of using a metaphor that was appropriate for today's material. We're going to look at sports. We're going to look at music, games. A section that I had the hardest time coming up with a title for, and I'm not totally happy with it, but it's the best I can do. Audio, video. It encompasses a whole bunch of things, and I'll discuss that when we get there. Vacations and day trips. So those are just some areas of recreation that came to my mind. We'll give you a chance at the end to throw in any others you might come up with. But these are kind of the big picture items I see at work. So I want to focus, and like I said, the rest of the morning will be focused on something that's very near and dear to all our hearts and our church in particular. Sports is a big deal. It's something we all enjoy, something we all do. And so we want to think about what are the biblical principles that apply in relation to sports. Is sports even something that has biblical principles that apply? Well, we said all of life ties back. So we're going to pull a John Piper here this morning and tie it back to a biblical perspective, or try to do that. Because I think it can be. I think there are principles that apply. And I'm going to approach this by taking, you know, two angles. I'm going to start with the positive angle, which is there are benefits in having your kids involved in sports. And here are some that come to mind. Number one, it helps them develop self-discipline and get much-needed exercise. Kids today have a tendency, and when you look at it and compare historically to how kids have been in the past, kids are way too sedentary today as a rule. They tend to sit around playing video games, watching TV, or just generally not doing much. And that's not good for their health. That's not good. The idea of self-discipline is a biblical ideal. Obviously, we want self-discipline particularly focused in important areas having to do with Christianity. But really, a life of self-discipline is a good life. And learning self-discipline is a good thing to learn. And sports are a great way to learn self-discipline. They really are that. So we look at that and say that's a positive for having your kids involved in sports. Team sports is a particular category of sport. Team sports help your kids learn teamwork, good sportsmanship, how to work together with others toward a common goal. Now, I'll make a true confession here for a variety of reasons, which I'm not even sure I know all of them. I personally did not have much involvement in team sports as a young person. I tended not to like it, tended to shy away from it. I have gotten into sports, as some of you know, and I have tended to be attracted to more individualistic type sports like racquetball. You know, if you're on a racquetball court, you're the only one on your team. Well, you can play doubles, I guess, and that could be sort of a team. But generally, racquetball is kind of a, you know, me against the other guy kind of thing. It's not let's all get together as a team and beat the other team kind of thing. So I don't have a lot of experience in this, but I have observations. And that is that people who have had that experience playing team sports learn in general in life how to be more team players. I mean, not a total transfer, 100% guarantee. I'm not saying that, obviously. But there's a tendency when you learn the dynamics of working together with others, seeing strengths and weaknesses and playing to the strengths of your team and being tolerant and kind and considerate and having good sportsmanship and keeping focus on the goal as a team and all these kinds of things that go into a team, people who have had that kind of background are better team players in life, on the job, in the community, and various other ways. So even though I lack this personally as a confession to you, I see it as a value. I see it as important. I see it as helpful. I see that others have benefited from this in ways that I probably should have but didn't. Sports helps your kids build camaraderie with others. It exposes them to new relationships. You know, when you get involved in any kind of activity, you're going to meet new people that are involved in that activity that you might not meet otherwise, people outside your church. And it gives you, therefore, new opportunities to spread the gospel to unbelievers, because now you are in a context where people can get to know you and like you and respect you and see your values and how they play out and the way you conduct yourself, even in something as simple and seemingly recreational as sports. And it gives you a framework and a platform, and it gives you access to other people for an opportunity to spread the gospel. Don't miss that, and don't let your kids miss it. We do want to just enjoy the sport for itself, but we don't want to miss the opportunities that sports and relationships in sports give us as a chance to spread the gospel. I know of a friend of mine whose church was had a very strong outreach in terms of pulling unbelievers in. And one of the things that church did is they had sports activities like volleyball or something that anybody could play. And the church would come out for it, but they would always encourage the members to invite unbelievers to play in the game. And it wasn't like the minute they walked onto the volleyball court, they started preaching to them. It wasn't like that. In fact, it would be really counterproductive to do that. But they just got a chance for everybody to meet everybody and got, you know, put a face to a name and all that, you know, and just got to give a chance for people to kind of connect and build relationships, which then could lead to gospel work, which they were very deliberate about. So if you are so inclined, and this is not everybody's cup of tea, but if you're so inclined, you can coach your kids' team, which adds another dimension to your relationship and gives you greater exposure to your kids' friends. Like I said, not everybody is inclined to do this, not everybody necessarily is even able to do this, but if you're able to do it and it sounds appealing to you, there's some benefits in becoming a coach for your kids' team. You get to meet his friends. It gets another connection with your kid. You're not just hearing about the game that he's playing out there. You're actually participating on his team, helping. And that's good. That's a good relationship builder. And it gives you a chance to root for and support your kids at something that they're good at. Now, we'll give some warnings here. I think people can get carried away with this. You know, they can feel like they have a guilt trip if they're not at every single game or kids play. I know there's difference of opinion there, and we have our discussion. You can give yours. My own opinion is that that's not merited. I think it's worthwhile for you to go see your kids play once in a while. You have to be at every game. I don't know. Probably depends on some things, but I would say, generally speaking, it ought to be something that you do, but not required every time. But it's a good thing if you can do it, because, you know, you want to think of ways that you can be cheering your kids on in areas where they're doing well or doing good. And this is a chance to do that. So there's some benefits. I'm sure there are others who will give you a chance to bring those up if you're thinking of some, kind of make a mental note and we'll let you come back to that. But I want to move now to things to beware of concerning kids in sports. There's some downsides about sports, and we need to think about this as well. I would say beware of becoming imbalanced in the amount of time you and your kids spend being involved in sports to the exclusion of other valuable ways of spending time and effort. This is easy to do because of all the good things I said about sports and because people just like it. There is a class of person, not everybody, but there is a class of person, a class of Christian person that I think I see over time that, I mean, just 90-95% of their whole recreational time, or just discretionary time, maybe we'll call it that, is spent sports. You know, they're out for this, they're out for that. They go out for swimming, they're up at 5 in the morning, they're good, you know, and on and on and on. Or it's just this game and that game, and the parents are like taxi cab drivers, and they're constantly, you know, shuffling kids between this game and that game. Sports are good, but there are other things that we've talked about, like work and like education and other areas that go beyond sports. So yes, make sports a keystone in your family, especially if you're inclined that way. But I would just say, think about the balance there. What is the balance? Well, you're the parent, you decide. You know, I could make my own opinions known, but that doesn't matter. What matters is just think about that. Think about how important is it in relation to other things that you need to be doing, and make sure you're covering your bases. Again, pardon the metaphor, in terms of what you need to be doing with your kids. And don't make it all just sports. I think you lose something in that. Beware of making sports the be-all and end-all in life, especially for your kids. Something I see, and this is not everybody, but I see in some kids, sports is life to them. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's the thing they get up for in the morning. That's the thing they think about when they're going to bed at night. That's the thing that, you know, everything else in life seems to just get in the way because they want sports. They love it. They think it's so great. And I can understand that. I mean, I wasn't particularly that way, but I can understand somebody getting that way. Sports have a lot of good things about them. We don't want anything to be the be-all and end-all except our commitment to Christ and, you know, God's sovereignty over our life, obviously. And even outside of that, we don't want to become so tilted and so imbalanced. And I'll tell you what this leads to sometimes. I see this, and I think it's kind of tragic. Okay, so kids good at sports, in grade school, yay, high school, yay. Maybe college. He gets on the college team. He's that good. How many kids are going to be able to get into pro sports? Not very many. Some. There'll be some. So what happens after college for that guy? Life suddenly got kind of drab and dull, and he's kind of a has-been, and there's a letdown. We don't want that to be the be-all and end-all. So just a word of warning or thought there. This sometimes gets connected to that. In fact, this person, the be-all and end-all person, sometimes becomes this parent. Make sure your desire to have your kids involved in sports is not just a desire that you have to vicariously be something you always wish you could be, but to the detriment of your kids. We all know people who do this. Even like they get their kids into acting or something because they always wish they could be a movie star. Parents who try to vicariously fulfill their own personal desires by driving their kids, I think are doing a disservice to their kids. You do want to obviously motivate and push your kids to do the things they're good at and all that we've talked about, but be careful it's not just a personal wish fulfillment for you. I think that's a great disservice, and it's subtle because you don't even think about the fact that you're doing that. And another big thing, be sure to correct your kids if you see them exhibiting bad traits that are common in sports, such as bad sportsmanship or becoming a prima donna. I could probably think of some other things. Those two stand out to me. So your kid's really good at sports. Great. But do you want him to think, hey, I'm the best one on the team. Everybody should give me the ball. So-and-so's a loser because they're not very good at the sport that we're involved in, and so forth. You want to encourage good, loving, humble attitudes in sports just like in every other area of life. Biblical principles still apply. What's good sportsmanship? Treating others kindly, not, you know, getting losing your temper because you didn't get your way, or the ref made a call that you didn't like, or the game is going in a direction you don't like, and so you're going to get mad and stomp your feet and let it ruin your day. Kids need to be talked about because they're going to do those things. That's natural. We all tend to do them, and you want to make sure that you correct that. Just a little bit more here before we open up for discussion. I didn't want to overlook spectator sports. Because up to this point, we've been discussing participation in sports. For many people, their connection with sports involves watching other people play sports, if they're professional or college or whatever. But let's talk about spectator sports a little bit. Again, we're going to look at the upside and we're going to look at the downside. There's, I think, an upside to spectator sports. Now, most of you know I'm not a super spectator sports guy, and I'll explain why in a minute, personally. But that doesn't keep me from seeing that there's an upside to it, and that people who are involved in it are doing a good thing. So I'm going to speak to that, just, again, from my observation. I mean, first of all, it's fun. That's why they do it, right? That's why we all watch sports. It's fun to get together and watch a game and have good food and see your team win. But beyond that, okay, we got that behind us. We know that's why we do it. It's a way of building camaraderie with those around us who share our devotion to our favorite team, right? I mean, your commitment to a team is really, it's not based on any moral values particularly or any biblical thing. It's just, it's your team. It's your home team usually. Go Hogs, go, whatever. And you got all these other people who are in your community, and that's their team too. And it just creates a little camaraderie. Creates a way to get together, again, build relationships. There could be evangelism. Again, I didn't mention it here, but that's, you know, obviously that could be at play. Some other things. It's a way of celebrating human achievement, and it can provide us with admirable examples of the amazing things that can be accomplished by those who are gifted and devote themselves to a particular discipline. That's really what you're doing with sports, isn't it? I mean, besides enjoying the food and getting together and just the time, the focus in the sport is just, look at that guy. How could he do that? You know, it's just amazing. And just the amazement of it all. And think about it, somebody was able to work for who knows how long they had to work to get to that ability. They had the gifting, of course, but they had the work that went into that. And think of what they accomplished by that effort. And what this leads to is that, in turn, that can serve as a motivation and example for us to strive and put forth similar efforts to use our gifts in more important areas of life. And I think this is what Paul is getting at. Paul makes a reference to sports on occasion, the Apostle Paul. And one particular place that came to my mind was 1 Corinthians 9. He says this. Every athlete, now he's talking about the athletes participating in the sports of his day, which would be the Olympics. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. An athlete, to be good at what he has to do, he has to be very self-controlled. He has to be controlled about his diet, by his exercise, by the work that he does and the routine that he has to prepare and so forth. Paul says, they, the athletes, do it to receive a perishable wreath. That was something that it's like the trophy, you know, you get out of the sport. So they do it for a trophy. It's perishable in a sense that, you know, when this life is gone, what's a trophy? Even after a couple of years, what's a trophy? Don't you know people who have trophies on their shelf? And I have a trophy at home. I won a chess tournament one year. Not a real big deal anymore. I won a chess tournament one time in high school. So what? But Paul says they do it to receive a perishable wreath. They put all that work into it, and they do it for something that's not even going to last. He's not saying it's bad. He's just saying, put it in perspective, we're doing the work that we do. We're having the self-discipline that we have. We're using the gifts that we have. We're putting in the effort and self-discipline that we have for something that's not perishable, the advance of the gospel, the advance of the kingdom. And so he says, and he gives himself as an example. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body, keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul's aware on a personal level that he needs to be self-controlled, he needs to be disciplined, and you know, you can look at what the athletes put into something, and think, wow, they're willing to work that hard. Shouldn't I be willing to work at least that hard for something so much more important? Excuse me. So it becomes a sort of a motivator. It was for Paul. Things to be aware of. This is our last section before I open it up to you all. Like any recreational activity, spectator sports can be a real time waster if you spend too much time doing it or give it priority over things that are more important. Not just picking on spectator sports, anything could fall in that category, particularly recreational things. So, yeah, you watch football once a week, but you gotta watch it every night. You know, is it consuming too much of your life? Is it such a big deal to you? Or is it taking up so much of your time because you enjoy it so much and you just want to kick back and do that, that you're neglecting things that really maybe you should use that time for other things? You just need to think about these things. You need to think about them. Be careful that you don't let it ruin your day and everyone else's day when your favorite team loses. Now, we're safe this week because didn't Arkansas just win? Okay, good. So this is just, you know, we're talking about it when it's not an issue. Okay, that's good. We like to do that. See, even though I don't watch sports, I keep up with that because I know it affects people. the story I was going to tell you, one of the reasons I didn't like team sports, one of the reasons I didn't like sports in general, when I was a kid, my dad was, and in fact, he still is, a huge, huge sports guy, spectator sports guy particularly, but even he played sports. He loved baseball especially. He grew up in Pittsburgh, and even after we moved to Arizona, the Pittsburgh Pirates were still, you know, that was the focus of his attention. The Pittsburgh Steelers during football season, he wasn't quite as big on football, but anything to do with Pittsburgh, he was big on it, because that was his hometown. And now he's in Phoenix. He's been out there long enough. He's now a Cardinals fan, I think. I showed him how to use the internet one time. The only thing he wanted was a link to the sports page to see what the Cardinals scores were. That's all he cares about. He didn't care about any of the rest of that computer stuff. Has no interest whatsoever, but he likes that. And my dad really tried to get me interested in sport. That was the oldest son, and tried to get me to play baseball. And I was keeping up with the baseball scores, doing, you know, how baseball season, you keep up with how each team is doing and all that. And there was a season for a little while, I kept up with those scores, kind of like I keep up with the polling results and elections coming up now, you know. I mean, I was just that intense about it. And my dad was too, and we'd sit and talk about how the Pirates were doing and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But one of the things that just really turned me off was that my dad was so intense about sports that if the Pirates lost, we lost our day, in a sense. He was so angry and so upset. And it just kind of turned me off about the whole thing. And or if I didn't do real well in sports, he would kind of really yell at me and jump down my throat. And I said, you know, I don't need this. Thank you very much. So I think he was a little imbalanced in that, and it sort of tilted me against it. I'm not saying I was totally justified in what I did, but that's just kind of how it played out. I'm just telling you. One other thing I thought of, there are a number of negative role models in sports today. All kind of people. You know, you got the Tiger Woods and, you know, what he did in terms of his marital infidelities. You've got people who are bad sports and when they play. You got people who are, you know, abusing their wives or abusing drugs or, I mean, on and on, you know. People who won't stand for the national anthem. I don't know. It's people that in various areas that are showing bad behavior. And I think those can be object lessons for your kids. You're sitting there watching a game together and say, you know, what do you think about what that guy's doing? Or what do you think about this? You know, in the news this came up. And just talk to them about, you know, we don't want those. Because the sports figures tend to be role models that we want to emulate and imitate. And that's good. But we don't want to emulate and imitate those who go astray. So we want to make those distinctions with our kids. That's the sprint. Now we're ready for discussion. And we've, you know, got about 15 minutes maybe. Let me just throw some questions out for your thought, and then I'll turn it loose. What are your thoughts on sports? Are there things that I have said today where you would like to elaborate further? Are there things I have said today that you would take issue with? Remember, I welcome other opinions. are there things that you would like to add to what I've already said? Or anything else you want to say? I'm just trying to get the wheels turning. So, what do y'all think? Thoughts? ideas?
I immediately wrote down a zillion advantages to team sports, and you covered some of them, but not all of them.
Okay, well, I knew you'd be able to help me, because I'm a little weak in this area, so yes, please bring that out.
But you covered the gaining friends, you covered teamwork, you covered the attitude of not being proud, you know, how you react, and you play in humility. Some parents push that, some don't.
Yeah, sure.
But it's also very important how they win and how they lose, and how they react to the other team.
Yep.
How you observe different levels that God gives everybody, different levels of intelligence, of talent, of skills, all that.
That's
and
true.
It's every time it's on a team, from the best to the least.
That's
there's
true.
Always a wide range. And so maintaining friendship, being sensitive to the feelings of those that aren't as good, you know, all that, you learn that life skill. You just learn that life is not fair, that no matter
yes,
how hard
point.
You try, you did great, the ref just blew it. I mean, you know,
yeah.
And you
good
also,
point, good point.
And you also learn that life's not fair, that prepares you for later, and you learn how to deal with authority other than your parents. The coach is what he says goes, and what that ref or umpire says, even though everybody else knows he missed it, we still go by that. And
that's
that
true.
Just teaches a valuable life lesson that, I mean, even Jared in talking about Marine, you know, the dugout of baseball prepared him for the foul mouths of the Marines. You know, so it just prepares
good.
You in life.
Yes.
That it's not quite so shocking to be out in the world. And then the thing I take issue with when you said one of the disadvantages was you have that let down if you don't make it to the pro.
Right.
Which, you know, that was the same thing that Ethan wisely dealt with when he was offered scholarship to play ball at a college, that he knew their moral values were not the same, and he chose not to do that.
Okay.
And he also realized, I'm not going to be good enough to go pro, so I might as well just start focusing on what I need to do in college to, you know, the other part of life.
Right.
So that was the wisdom in that. But I also just thought that same thing happens in everything. It's just in how you deal with it. There's going to be a letdown for a man who works for years and years to be the CEO and then he has to retire.
No, that's true.
And for the pros in the back, you know, they do make it. But sometimes they get old and they've got to retire, and it's a letdown.
Yeah. But they all get old, unless they die.
And moms work for years and years raising their kids, and they leave, and it's a letdown. So the fact that there's going to be a letdown, you know, that doesn't matter.
Right.
You have to deal with letdowns in life.
Sure, yeah, and point well taken. And really, you may remember I brought that in relation to we don't want to give disproportionate value to it, because that, otherwise if you were disproportionately invested in it, it can become a bigger letdown than it should be. That's all I was saying. I do agree totally. Very, very great, great points. Great, thank you.
We just got back from a 2-day basketball tournament in Fort Worth.
So you all are ramped,
about
yeah.
20 games. We played about 12. So
yeah, yeah.
He was ready for that one.
Well, I knew this was a big area for our church in general. And again, I see a lot of positive in that. Even though I personally am not necessarily where everybody else is, that doesn't keep me from being able to appreciate where others are. And that's a part of life too, right? You know, just because, I mean, there are probably things I do that others go, yeah, okay, that's glad you like that, Bob.
And choosing what, I mean, just like we have for years spent tons of money and time in baseball and now in basketball, and that's a choice that you realize, okay, this is going to be the advantages, this is the disadvantages,
yep.
And we choose to do it. But
sure.
We have to know why we do it and what advantages we're working towards in the process instead
yep.
of just everybody does it, let's go do it.
Yeah, and that's one of the big things I'm trying to encourage today. You notice I'm not trying to dictate to you percentages and values because they're going to differ from family to family and person to person. All I'm really wanting you to do is think, just what you just said, just think through, have reasons why, and really try to be objective and try to evaluate things in light of the bigger priorities in life, how you're doing. And, you know, that's all I could ask you to do, really. So great, great point. Somebody else, yeah, Karen.
And fortunately, family, we made it family events, so, you know, we were all there and had, you know, Jesse loves going out and just watching. So that was helpful. But it did help us to see some sides of his personality enhanced.
Yeah.
And areas that we're going to have to watch.
Good.
And so that was really good. I mean, because I know he's competitive, but seeing him actually competitive on a field, on a team, and like the authority, that's been really helpful because right now, I mean, I homeschool him. I'm also his co-op tutor. And so he doesn't have, you know, I guess he has Sunday school, but so I've enjoyed seeing that. But it's seeing the dynamics of the different kids in there. Like there's one kid that he obviously doesn't want to be there. And so, you know, maybe this is just their time to get him in and see. I think there's some good tips in there as far as making sure you see your kid's desires. And, you know, if your kid does not desire to do it, then you're wasting everybody's time in doing it. So I think keeping in, you know, because we always thought, you know, Jaden's going to, he's going to be our retirement plan. So I think just making sure that you are aware of that it is more beneficial than detrimental. So I think we've already been kind of just in the small bits watching out on Jaden and seeing what is brought out in him.
Okay, yeah, that's bringing out a lot of those.
And when you start with them, you know, you chose to start when they're young. We made our kids wait. Ethan was 12 before. I mean, they wanted to play T-ball and, you know, when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, we just said no.
Oh, really?
And they just thought it took forever, didn't it, before we finally got to play sports.
Okay. Yeah, and because you're thinking through, and that was the value that you felt would serve you best in that situation. Not every parent will do that, but, you know, obviously you have reasons why you did it. I'm not even going to ask what they were. But, but yeah, that's the thing. Thinking through and seeing the value, like you're pointing out, it brings out dimensions of things that you didn't normally get to see. So that's a good thing. Other thoughts and ideas somebody wants to throw out there?
I guess one thing that comes to mind is in terms of spectator sports is the Cubs, you know, just won the World Series for the first time in over 100 years. And I was thinking about what it would be like to be a Cubs fan. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be really cool for a few days, but then I think it would be really disappointing that, life just kind of goes on.
Yeah.
People don't just talk to you every day for months about, your team won.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so it just brings up the disappointment that those kind of things, like we can set our hope and even kind of ingrain our identity into something.
Yeah.
And then once you achieve what you've been just your whole life, you've been hoping would happen, it's a great weekend, but
yeah,
that's about it. And then there's next year, and you just kind of hope that you win again next year. So I think that's a good opportunity. You know, the Razorbacks haven't won anything since like 1994. So if my kid is a Razorbacks fan like I am, I can, you know, kind of help them. You know, it's great. We root for them every time they play, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's not life or death.
Yeah. Well, you know, the remarkable thing to me, as more of an outsider than an insider in terms of sports observation, is that your achievement if you're the Chicago Cubs fan, your achievement had absolutely nothing to do with you whatsoever. You can do nothing to make them win. It's almost like we have an incentive plan at work where we get a bonus every year. And I really, because at least I could say, well, because I contributed to the overall well-being of the company, I did my little tiny fair share. But honestly, like right this year, our incentive plan's cratering, and I can do nothing about it, you know. And it's kind of like that with the teamwork, you know. It's like, you know, whether the Hogs win or lose, you know, it's you're tied into that. But really, that's why the idea, again, keeping in perspective, we don't want to make it that we can't enjoy it, you know. Like, well, we're going to put it in perspective. It doesn't mean anything, so you become like Bob. You don't have to be that guy, you know. Enjoy your sports. There's nothing wrong with that. It can be a good thing, but just keep it in perspective.
And this is also another area that you've talked about before where your kids invest in it. So my kids pay their own fees.
Okay.
And so, you know, they have to consider, am I going to play this year or not play this year?
Yeah.
Because they have to invest in it. It's not just mom and dad paying for everything and doing everything for them.
That's a good point. We want those things for our kids, don't we? We want things that they want to invest in. It's one thing to say, you must do this, and, you know, the only motivation is, you know, they don't want to get a sore backside when you spank them. But that's, life needs to be bigger than that, especially as they get older. And you want to find areas that motivate them to do it themselves, you know, something they want to do. And every kid's different. You know, some kids won't care. Like I didn't. My dad couldn't have motivated me in my sports. He motivated me in other ways, and that's fine. But yeah, it can be a great source of motivation. That's a wonderful thing, because you can use the motivation and guide and mold it and shape it to where you can direct it and get them to advance themselves and benefit themselves in ways that they normally would not. So that's good.
But the disadvantage with homeschooling is I chose not to ever use it as a punishment. Like, I know sometimes somebody would say, oh, so-and-so can't be here today because he didn't
do a schoolwork
or something.
Yeah.
And if it's an individual thing, but I always said, no, you can't let down your team because you messed up.
Good point.
So that was just my choice again.
Yeah, that is, yeah. And I understand why you would think that. That makes sense.
I have a question. I guess you're good.
Okay.
I guess in a baseball season, when we on our way to church, we go before you pass the baseball field and we've seen games and stuff out there. And so Jared and I have made comments about, you know, there's so many different ways to get involved in sports. We would just have to make sure we found a team that didn't play games every Sunday. So I guess over time, I mean, I guess it's not unavoidable for everything. And I think, you know, even with music and stuff, you're going to have that conflict. So what are your thoughts on overall with it interfering on
used
Sunday?
To, I remember thinking it made me mad that they had anything on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
and then we weren't going to do it, and for years we didn't. And then I went to churches that, Sunday's not a big deal. I mean, it used to be a big deal. It used to be the Sabbath. It used to be you put everything aside, and I have just seen that, like so many other things, like,
mm-hmm.
And so we just adopted that attitude of, mm-hmm. So we do more things on Sunday than we ever did when I was growing up and when my kids were little. And so now it's on those occasions when there's a concert, we go to concert. Or usually on baseball, it never conflicted that I remember, except when we were on a faraway tournament or something. Yeah, and we were just gone. So that was just like being out of town. That we can just play. You know, we never had a team that regularly played on Sundays, were we? Do you remember?
Well, I never went to those Sunday morning games up there, so it's hard to remember those.
So yeah, I mean, I guess for a while we just did. Yeah, that the Sabbath is not in reverence as it used to be, unfortunately. Because now, I mean, that everybody's Saturday so busy. That's why you folks just switched to Sunday afternoons, because it's like that's the only day anybody's got nowadays. Because it used to be set aside. Now it's getting to the biggest shopping day, biggest sports day.
Yeah.
And that's
that. Yeah, well, yeah, that gets into a whole theological area, which is, and you have to stand by your convictions on that. I remember, like, the movie Chariots of Fire, Eric Little wouldn't run his heat on on a Sunday or whatever, because he felt like it was the Sabbath, the sort of a Presbyterian background that he had. That's another whole discussion as to whether that, how much weight that holds. But if you believe that holds weight, then obviously you have to adhere to that for your conscience sake, if nothing else. let's see. Okay, we're pretty well down on time, I think. Let me ask a question. Next week's Thanksgiving, I'm anticipating a lot of people out. I'm wondering about even how many people think they will be here next week for Sunday school. Okay, so we got, I guess we can still all get together and we'll just, we're going to talk about music, I think, is what we're on next week. So, and there may be others who aren't here to raise their hand, you know, but like I think maybe the Michonne, I don't know, because I know they're not here this week. Who knows? All right, we'll carry on. And it's always available, as you all know, at purifiedbyfaith.com, if I haven't reminded you about that in a while, and click on Proverbs. And under CVBC, way down at the bottom, you'll have lesson number whatever, and it'll be sorted by date. So if you want to hear what we said when you weren't here, you're able to do that. I try to get it out there usually by Sunday night, not always, but usually.
Purified by faith.
Purified by faith. Yeah, it's based on Acts 15:9. And that's my website. It actually has all my teaching that's online. I don't have all my teaching out there, but and every week's lesson will have a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that I showed, and it'll have an audio. And you'll have to turn the volume way up when people in the back are speaking, unfortunately. I wish I had a better way to deal with that, but let me pray. Father, it's been great to have this discussion. Thank you for the wisdom and input of those who have more experience in this area. And again, great reminder that every area of our life ties back to a biblical worldview, even something as seemingly unrelated as playing sports or watching a game on TV. All of life should revolve around our relationship with you, our buying into your priorities for ourselves and for the world around us. And we pray that it would serve to that end to have this kind of discussion. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.